Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And my name is Ben. I write some videos and hang out with Scott on this show.
Fantastic. Easy as that. Now, Ben, I don't like to complain about, you know, this type of thing.
That's true. You're a really nice guy.
But I guess I want to find out some of your pet peeves today. Because I've got a few automotive pet peeves, and I hesitate to bring them up because I know it does sound like you're complaining or you're whining or whatever.
Sure.
But really, there's some things that are bugging me. Mm. And I've got a short list of things. I'm not going to read all of them, you know, verbatim to you. But I want to know, do you have things that bother you out there on the road, too?
You're
opening Yeah, just tell me, what frosts your fanny, Ben Bullen?
Frosts.
Scott, you look shocked when I said that.
I appreciate your humor, but yeah. You need to realize you're opening a door that does not close. Do you
I
really want to do this?
Have you got some severe road rage issues?
Okay,
or
yes.
Is this really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I have a list of some pet peeves that I've consulted with some of our colleagues here at Studio 1A.
Ah.
And I think maybe, you know, this is, you originally told me about this before we started any research on it. And I thought this was a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people will agree with some of this stuff, even if a lot of our listeners are guilty, as am I. So I'm going to go down here, and I'm going to tell you the ones that I'm guilty of as I'm telling you.
You know what? That's a good idea, and I'll chime in with my
Yeah, I
want to
be
well.
Fair. I want to be fair. First
okay.
off, one big one, and very common here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. not using turn signals. Mm-hmm. I use turn signals. I'm not a great driver, but I use turn signals. And I find it offensive when other people don't.
Understood. Yeah. I use turn signals even in my own neighborhood.
You use turn signals?
I use turn signals pulling into my own driveway.
No, you don't.
I truly do.
Well, okay. You're
yeah. No,
all
that's
right.
No, that's one. But I'm sure okay. that there's going to be 100 others that I'm guilty of.
Tailgaters.
Guilty.
I knew it.
yeah.
I knew it.
Only,
you have the look of a gator.
Only you know what? My wife thinks I'm guilty of it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. That drives me crazy, but I'm I don't think I'm as guilty as she thinks, and and I also think that I do it maybe if I'm a little bit angered by the driver in front of me sometimes, and I've mentioned that on air before that
that's true.
I will that's bad side of me really. I'll follow a little too closely if I just a little bit of anger
that happens to me, but I'm more guilty of this next one: cutting off other drivers.
Oh,
I don't do it on purpose. So
I hope not semis.
What's that? No,
you don't do semi-trucks or
no,
anything like
no,
that,
I
right?
let
okay.
them pass.
Ah, good.
But you know, being that we are in a high traffic area, sometimes I feel that the only way I can get over is to cut someone off. Because we'll go into something actually that Jerry brought up just before we started recording. But we'll go through more of this list. When people try to jump in line, there's a lot of construction in Atlanta, Scott. So when you see that orange sign that says construction, right lane ends, 500 feet. That doesn't mean drive 498 feet and then try to insert yourself into the line.
I'm going to mark this one off of my list because I have merging courtesy as one of mine. I'm marking it off right now.
Okay.
But you know what? On a side note, the signs don't usually start 500 feet ahead. They start 2 miles ahead.
I know.
And
yes.
someone will drive, you're right, to the last 10 feet and then try to cram themselves in. And that's where all the trouble comes about.
Mm-hmm.
The merging courtesy is not there.
And so, and a lot of times other people aren't going to let those drivers in.
Yeah, because they're mad because they waited in line.
Right, yeah. right. And let's see, another one that I think people can agree with: texting or using a cell phone while driving. Some states are making it illegal. I think in DeKalb County, which is part of the Atlanta metro area, if you are in an accident while you're on your cell phone and they can prove it, then you're the at-fault driver.
Ah, this hits close to home.
Yeah.
I suspect my wife was in a traffic accident just recently. Her car was rear-ended in traffic, and I've got a suspicion that the driver was on using text at the time, or texting, just from what she told me about it, and the speed to which this guy was going, it was stop-and-go traffic, and he really crammed into the back of her car. His car was undrivable, and the second he got out, he already had his phone in his hand. He was still going through pages, and I don't know if he just was, you know, instinct to grab the phone and do that,
right.
or if it was in his hand ahead of time, but it just seems like, thinking it through logically, that he wasn't paying attention.
It's just not worth it.
So, I mean, I don't know. I suspect it, but there's no way to prove something like that.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Another one, putting on makeup while driving.
Yeah, that's right.
Or, and I have seen this.
Guilty. No, I'm kidding. I'm not guilty.
Reading while driving, Scott. Having the newspaper spread out over the steering wheel.
Totally agree. I've seen this one before. I've seen novels in people's hands, and I don't understand how they can do it.
I love reading. I have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
I will be honest with you. I don't have too much dignity. I have pulled over at a gas station before because I wanted to finish what I was reading.
Really?
When I left, yeah, and I thought I could make the whole trip. Then I thought, no. Oh,
what a bookworm.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good for you, though. I mean, better than reading on the road.
Better than going slow in the fast lane, that's for sure. You know that segue?
That's going to be a popular one among all listeners, I think, because everybody seems to get peeved at that.
Mm-hmm.
Using the left lane just to travel at normal speed, I mean, whatever that is, 55, 65.
Right.
So you shouldn't
be doing that. Usually there are two or three other lanes.
Now, but my question is,
yes,
is that just a passing lane or is that just a lane for high-speed travel?
The left lane?
The far left lane. Because some people see it as only a passing lane.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because you're supposed to pass on the left or whatever.
Correct, yeah.
Well, passing on the right, I think, is wrong. But
guilty.
Yeah. Well, sometimes in port in a storm, you know?
Sometimes.
I don't know, man. I always thought it was just a high-speed lane, and then you can if you'd rather not go high-speed the entire time, but you want to go faster than the person in the next lane, mm-hmm. I think it's okay to use that lane to pass them. But just because you don't want to go 55 doesn't mean you want to go 80.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's a happy medium.
Understood.
Rubberneckers, though.
Hmm. Guilty.
Yeah.
I love to look at accident scenes and fires and all kinds of things like that. I don't know what my problem is.
Interesting trash on the road.
Stuff like that. If I see someone hit a bear, I'll look at that. I don't know why I do. I'm a rubbernecker.
What gets me is people will complain about it the entire time that we're waiting in traffic to go past an accident and then also go 15 miles an hour. And it's such a cycle of abuse of traffic because you think that, you know,
sure. Well, there's that initial slowdown, and then that, you know what that does. It just compounds all the way back.
Yeah, but,
and
that
slowdown could be there all day.
After 20 minutes in line, I've actually heard somebody say, a friend of mine that I was riding with, I said, I thought you said you hate how everyone slows down to look at accidents. And he said, it's been 20 minutes. I deserve this. And, how can you argue with it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay,
great
so
logic.
Then we also have people who flash lights and don't give you a chance to get out of the way. Distance at a red light, somebody's already a red light and someone stops three or four car lengths away, which especially in a crowded area where there's a traffic light at every block can actually mess up traffic.
So you prefer that they get right on your rear bumper and stop?
Not on my rear bumper, not on my front bumper either, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest, that is one of our colleagues' pet peeves. It's not mine.
Okay.
I promise them anonymity, so I
see.
I can't divulge
my sources. I'm more in the corner of give everybody a little bit of space, and there's the reason is that if somebody were to hit me from behind,
right,
then my car doesn't get damaged in the front and the back. I don't hit the car in front of me.
See, and I understand that. That's why I give some space, too. My rule is that if I can't see a little bit of space between my car and their bottom back bumper, then I'm probably too close.
No, I do the same thing. I try to see if I can see their tires.
Yeah, that's an easy little way to not be dangerous.
Yeah.
Or chronically
it's about eight
annoying.
Or 10 feet, something like that.
Oversized cars, because we do live again in a city. You know what? If you know how to use a four-wheel drive vehicle, if you need to use a four-wheel drive vehicle, they are made for you, and it's great that you have one. If, however, you live downtown, maybe around the neighborhood of, I can't divulge Studio 1A's secret location, but sometimes you don't need an Escalade, especially if you're trying to parallel park that bad boy in a street with no parking.
You're better off with a Peel 50.
Right. And then some people tell me they're aggravated by tickets in the mail, and then I'm going to get to my top two.
Tickets in the mail.
Yeah.
That's a good. You know what? Yeah. That ties into one of mine, but I'll save it for a moment. But the tickets in the mail thing, just remember that, because we have the red camera system here.
Yes.
The red light camera system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gotten me a couple.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so these are my two of my absolute, my number one and number two peeves, respectively. Okay, first, and this is going to sound silly, but hear me out, Scott. I think traffic signs are pessimistic. I think one of the reasons people are in bad mood, because think about it. there are no real positive traffic signs. The nicest traffic sign we have in the English language says keep moving. And if you think about it, that's just kind of bossy.
It is bossy.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I feel like maybe it's sort of this survivalistic thing. Don't give up, Ben.
So you're
keep moving.
So you see it as like not just like a stop sign. It's like stop, Ben. Stop.
Yeah, like that? I feel, you know, and dead end, can you just say the road stops? Why are you messing with my head?
Yeah.
And then there are all these wrong way signs everywhere. I know they need to be there, Scott, but would it kill the DOT to put a right way sign up, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Boy, I've never thought about that. Signs are pessimistic.
I spend a lot of time in traffic. And again, I don't read in the car, so I can only read the traffic signs.
I guess you could read like neighborhood street signs, like Serenity Way and Maple Hill Grove. Mm. And nice signs like that.
Yeah. And then red light cell. This is one of my number one peeves. And
red light cell?
I call it the red light cell.
Okay. What is it?
Like they're selling something. You're at a red light, and then someone comes up to you, and they want money for something. It may be donations for a nonprofit. It may be for Little League. It may be for, you know,
Dozen Roses.
Yeah, a dozen roses. Right. It may be someone just asking for some change because they're down on their luck. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. First off, it's unsafe. Secondly, it depends upon the pressure that people feel, because most people have enough respect for another human being that they're not going to pretend you're invisible, especially when they're sitting there with just glass between you.
Yeah.
You know? So that's probably my number one.
Okay. Got it. The red light cell. I've never heard it called that before.
I made that term up.
Very good. Very interesting. Now, I've got a short list here.
All right.
And you know what? I'll just bring up the one that you had mentioned, the red light, the tickets, I guess.
The tickets in the mail.
Now, we've got the red light system here, red light photo enforced system here.
Yes.
So what happens is they take a photo, you know, a half second before the light turns red, when the light's red, and then a half second afterwards or something like that, right?
Right.
And then they send you all three photos to prove that you were in the intersection when the red light was red. The problem I've got with that is that it seems like anywhere else in the world that I've been driving where they don't have this, when you're making a left-hand turn, you're able to creep out into the intersection
and
make the
out.
Left turn, and there's usually about two or three cars are able to get through that light per cycle, even if it's crowded, if it's rush hour. The problem with that system, I'm completely gun-shy of doing that because of that red light system.
Oh, yeah.
Even one car passed it. I won't even be the first car to do that because of that red light system. I just don't want to be caught in the middle of the intersection when it turns red. Because
they will get you.
They will. And if, you know, if the other people coming, you know, head on your way are, you know, I guess that they don't stop, if they're going to try to go through the yellow light, then you're stuck right in the middle of the intersection during a red light, and you're left to make your turn after it's red. Mm-hmm. So anywhere else, you're able to get two or three cars through. Here in Atlanta, it seems like you can't even get one car through, and a lot of people are like me where they don't want to do that because they'll get caught, but then that makes the person behind you or two people behind you very mad that you didn't do that.
That's true, but also...
But they would also get tickets.
Yeah, but I feel like these systems are in place because they're necessary. Before people knew their odds were dramatically increased, their odds of getting caught, rather... then they would just take red lights as sort of this suggestion.
Well, it's a safety
issue. Sort of this,
issue.
Hey, maybe you should stop.
I understand.
You know, and which is really the yellow light's job.
Yeah, I get it. I know. Yeah. I know it's a safety issue, but it's still...
And I see what you're saying, because I lead out all the time.
Yeah.
Still haven't been nailed. I need to knock on wood.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
What's next?
I've got a couple here, and I'll just go through them quick, because I know we're running short here. So, how about this one? Unrestrained kids in the backseat of a car. Or in the front seat, where they're just kind of, you're on the highway, they're hopping over the seat, they're jumping around.
That?
Seems extremely dangerous. I mean, when I was a kid, I knew it was kind of common, you know, sitting in the front seat with no seatbelt on, that type of thing. But there are, you know, laws for that now. And I don't see anybody really enforcing that. I mean, I know they are, but I see it often enough that I think, like, you know, where's police when you need them, you know, and you can see. I know they're there. They've got a busy thing. You know, they're covering other more busy, more important things maybe, but it's important, I think, to keep the kids buckled in. It just drives me crazy because I know something's going to happen someday, and that just makes me upset. Another one, dogs in the rear of a pickup truck. Unrestrained.
Oh, in the bed of the truck.
In the bed of a truck, yeah. I see this on the highway. I see it. I mean, just kind of walking around, it's like, I know that dog's going to jump out any second.
Yeah, it better be a heavy dog.
I know it. I see it all the time. Anyway, two or three more, and that's about it.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, cigarette butts out the window.
Oh,
people
yeah.
flipping cigarette butts oh, out the yeah. window. Have you ever been hit by a cigarette butt that's been flipped out of a window? No, I mean, your car.
My windshield,
not,
yeah.
Yeah, your windshield. Mm-hmm. And you see the scattering of sparks that yeah, happens
and
after
it,
that? And
if it's at night, it looks like a tracer bullet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've had that happen before, and there's this, unspoken fear that, you know, if it goes underneath the car, it's somehow going to get wedged in there and
sure.
start a fire.
Or what if you
likely.
Have your window down and you don't see a spark come in,
exactly.
and then you get... You know, a burn mark in your back seat.
Exactly. It's not likely, but it could happen. But anyway, that's one thing that bugs
yeah.
me. Cigarette butts and when people flip
yeah.
them out at me. Not at me, but just out of the vehicle.
No, they know it's you.
Here's one. People backing up on the off ramp. I see this all the time. I see this every day. I see somebody who has missed the off ramp
uh-huh.
and they're backing up against traffic to get back to that ramp rather than going to the next exit and just turning around and coming back.
Why?
Like,
Why
like
that?
I would do.
Why is that? I would do that.
Would you? You would back up on the highway?
No, I would go to the next exit.
Ah, yes. Very good. Very good. Because it's extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, but I see it every single day on the highway.
Wow.
Of course, I have an entire highway trip home and back, mm-hmm. Here and back.
Are we getting to the big one? Because before we get to the big one, I got to put in one that Jerry said.
I got one more. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hit
this because you've got the big one.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to save that one for a second. Jerry and you and I were talking before we started recording about just an underlying lack of common courtesy.
Hmm.
Something the way, you know, I'm going to misquote you, Jerry, so don't get mad at me. Something about the way, there's some transformation that takes place when people hop in a car. Someone could be perfectly nice, you know, hmm. when they're outside of their Chrysler. But when they're inside, and I'm not singling Chrysler out, I'm just saying any kind of vehicle, when they're inside, there's something happening. You know, people don't walk the way that they drive.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever run up behind me, you know, with a flashlight, clicking it on and off and yelling because I'm in line at the bank.
I love that example.
I would love it if it actually did happen, you know. And it's so much easier to merge in a crowd at the mall
than
it
sometimes.
Is.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah. No, you're right. There is a complete lack of courtesy that happens. Not everybody. I mean,
yeah.
Not all the time. And I'm mm-hmm. guilty of this sometimes. You know, if I, for whatever reason, I'm in a bad mood, or
yeah,
or you know, sometimes it's inadvertent. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't realize that car was next to you, and that they're merging,
right?
And you catch them at the last second, and you feel terrible about it. You know, I should have backed off mm-hmm. or whatever. But most of the time, it's intentional.
And then there's car discrimination. I used to be guilty of car discrimination.
What's that?
If someone has a car that is very, very nice and they're already kind of driving like a jerk,
mm-hmm.
if someone has a super nice car and they were not a great driver, not necessarily a villainous driver, then I would relish the opportunity to not let them in.
Oh, Ben.
And drive past
Ben,
them.
Oh, my gosh.
It's terrible.
Dirty.
I'm better
dirty.
Now. I'm better now. I've seen the light.
Okay. All right.
It's not like, their fault that they're doing
it's
good.
It's like a confessional
well.
Today.
It kind of is.
Oh, boy.
But let's go to the big one.
Well, I got two left, and that's
yes,
it.
Yes, okay.
This one gets me, and there's a variation of this one, too. I get my car washed, and mm-hmm. I'm on a two-lane road, maybe. Invariably, there will be somebody that will have a trailer or something like that. They will go off the road with two wheels and throw dirt and rocks all over my car.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is about it, but when my car is still damp from the car wash, that's when this happens. And I get home and there's, you know, mud or just streaks of dirt and stuff mm-hmm. all over it. Happens every single time. I don't know why that is. It doesn't happen any other time,
mm-hmm.
But it's always on the way home from the car wash.
Weird.
And a variation on that is if you're on the highway, or, you know, traveling at 50 miles an hour or whatever, someone in front of you got a clean car again, clean windshield, everything is nice, you know, you're headed out, pick
yeah.
up a date, go wherever. Someone in front of you uses their windshield washer, and it more or less sprays over the top of their car and onto your car, speckles the whole vehicle, you know, just what you were just polishing off of the car 5 minutes before that.
I can.
Does this happen to you?
What's interesting? It
drives
it
me crazy.
It has, but I don't think it hits me emotionally the way that
it bothers me so bad.
Really?
Yeah, because I've been to, you know, some of these quick change or quick oil change
yeah.
places, and they put
put Rain-X on.
Well, one time they put almost like muddy water in the thing, and it was awful. I had to flush it out, you know, at a power wash, and then
yeah.
flush the system, and it was really a mess. I had to degrease it, and it was all really gross. I don't know what happened. But stuff like that ends up on my windshield then
mm-hmm.
when I was being careful not to hit that, you know, because I've got a nice clean car.
Yeah.
I try not to hit my windshield washer because, you know, it leaves the streaks and marks.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, that really bugs me.
Is that your number one?
No, that's not my number one.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, okay, man, I thought that was that was anticlimactic.
Do you see what I mean? This is whiny.
Well, we're almost done, dude.
I know. Okay, this is the last one.
I think we're sticking up for the listeners because these people might be in traffic right now, Scott. We're doing this for them.
This is my biggest pet peeve on the road. And this originated, I don't know if I say originated, but where I first heard this was in Chicago, probably in the mid-90s. Never heard it anywhere before, and now it's everywhere in the U.S., apparently.
Let's get a drum roll. I think this deserves a drum roll.
People who honk the instant a light turns green.
Oh,
now, this happens to me all the time. I was a pedestrian in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I heard this happening. I thought, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
I didn't really realize what was going on. You know, the second it turned green, I heard a lot of honking. I thought, well, that's weird. But then it started to spread. And I'm not saying Chicago is the birthplace of this or anything, but that's where I heard it first. And now it's everywhere, and including here. And what gets me the most is that it's not just the second person in line thinking that the first person is asleep, you know, because it's the second that it turns. I mean, the instant it changes.
Really?
Sometimes this is a car that's six or seven cars back. Don't they realize that there's a process where the first car goes, the second car goes, the third car goes, etc., and it's kind of a chain, and you have to wait. It doesn't. It's not that the second the light turns green, all 20 cars in lines, all 20 cars don't move simultaneously forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way, and that drives me
really
crazy.
I've heard
and
that.
It makes me want to stay right where I am and pretend as if I was asleep or looking at doing something else, but I don't.
You wouldn't.
But that's one of those things that makes me go to instant anger.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it grates on me.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess if we want to go with the walking versus driving analogy, it's like you're in a crowded elevator and the door opens and people start cursing at you.
That's right. So this honking as soon as the light turns green, my number one, and like I said, it takes my blood pressure right through the roof instantly.
I bet for some people, though, it feels really good to honk the horn
You know, I never, ever touch my horn. Ever. I don't.
Really?
Someone could be, you know, they could slam on the brakes and skid right up to my front bumper and be staring at me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't honk the horn.
I've been trying to incite my girlfriend to be less stingy with the horn because I will. Yeah, I know. She's a really nice person.
Yeah.
And I do my best to be a nice person. Yeah. But I don't honk just because I'm angry. I honk because I'm alerting people. To the fact that they are doing something stupid, which may cost us in terms of health and money.
You're a driving elitist.
I may be. I might just be. You know what? I am definitely. I just got over my driving prejudice with cars. You know, mm-hmm. So it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
But even I have never honked right when the light turns green.
Oh, good.
Because I understand what's going on.
So everybody out there, keep that in mind. You're making someone in front of you very mad.
Mm. And if it's Scott, you won't know because he won't honk the horn.
Yeah, that's right. No, you know what? There have been times when people in front of me are probably reading a book or doing whatever he was talking about, texting.
Mm-hmm.
I won't honk the horn. I'll wait. And I don't know why, but I just won't touch the horn.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to get you a customized horn.
I mean, if I pull up to someone's house and I want to alert them that I'm there, you know, come on out and get the car, I'll roll down the window and yell, "Hey, come on out. I'm here."
I hope you're at the right house.
No, yeah.
We should fix your horn so that it plays Canyonero.
Nice. That would be good.
Which is a Simpsons reference, and usually when we do a Simpsons reference, that means we're ready to call it a day, right?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening to our gripes.
Yeah. We probably, or we hopefully, hit on a couple that you thought of, but if we missed one, especially if it's something that just drives you up the wall, write us in, tell us about it, we'll tell everybody else, and as always, the email address
is... Ben, I'm going to give them the email address, but what have you done? You've opened the floodgates, there's going to be a million emails.
I told you, the door doesn't close, Scott. I said it in the beginning.
All right, go ahead and write us at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.